You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine with an exclusive, something that you cannot get on any other radio station in the country. Frankly, something that CNN would really like to get. You're going to hear it right here on React Radio, 1480 AM. And then I'm going to pitch it to CNN. Hopefully that they'll carry it. We'll see if they do. Speaking with me now, first of all, in studio, I have a woman who has been here before, a tireless fighter for the Syrian people. I want to welcome Nadia here to the Inside Scoop. That's actually not her real name. I don't want to give her a real name. I always try to be very protective.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for coming. I want you to pull that microphone really up close to your voice and speak as closely as I am. Like, there you go, there you go. I want you to really speak in there. And then, this is the really exciting thing, not that Nadia's not exciting, but we have, not just, you heard 2 weeks ago, we had a Syrian fighter, Majid, that was a pseudonym, came here and spoke with us, and I was very glad to have him on the air. Now we have something even more amazing. We have the leader of the Syrian Free Army in the south, in Daraa. Did I pronounce that right? Daraa. Because there's two A's. I want to make sure I get it right. Daraa is the town in the south of Syria next to Jordan where the entire revolution began, where the people had had enough with Assad and rose up. They started in Daraa. We actually have the head of the Syrian Free Army in the south taking an enormous risk coming here on the air to talk with us. And he's willing to use his real name, which I find astonishing. I certainly wouldn't do it if I were in his position, but I don't know that I'm as brave a man as he is. Yasser, welcome. Welcome very much right here to the Inside Scoop.
Okay, Yasser, are you with us? Mr. Yasser.
Did we lose him?
No, he's with me.
Okay. Just talk a little bit louder. I've raised up your volume. And I'm increasing it even more.
Mr. Yasser, can you hear me? Am tismani akh Yasser?
Yes.
Okay, I hear you now.
Nah.
Okay, good.
Terrific.
So, ana hahki ma'ak bil arabi w ba'deen tarjam lil ingleezi, okay?
Are you going to translate for me?
Yes.
Oh, so he doesn't speak English very well, which is fine.
No, I will translate for
That is perfectly fine. I'll be happy to do that. So, you'll translate for me. So, my first question is, explain to me why you're so brave that you're willing to come on here and use your real name. Are you safe? That's my first question.
هلا انت ما انك خايف انك قلت اسمك وواثق من نفسك فحابين يعرفوا انك انت بمكان امن وما انك خايف على حياتك؟
في البداية السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم. That much I understand.
المكان بسوريا غير توفر وغير موجود للجميع لعامة الشعب السوري ل 23 مليون سوري المكان الآمن غير متوفر ولكن لا يستطيع أو لا يعجز الإنسان عن اختراع الوسائل لتغيير الأماكن بشكل مستمر واستخدام التقانة الحديثة التي زودنا بها من قبل الأخوة المهندسين السوريين العاملين في إطار الجيش الحر الحمد لله نحن
Looks like we lost him. Why don't you work on getting him back? First, before you work on getting him back, just tell me what he said, what you heard before we lost him.
He says nobody is safe in Syria. There are 23 million populations. They're all not safe. So he doesn't fear for himself because everybody is not safe.
Okay, so now just going to try to get him back. Again, this is not, we're doing this on the fly here, folks. It's not easy. You must know, if you've been watching this crisis anywhere, the Syrian government does not allow, you can pull it out there just so you can hear him and get him set up. You can pull that out just if you want to talk to him and then plug it in when you're ready to go. I'm just, again, we're doing this on the fly here. I'm trying to tell Nadia, once she gets him back, we're going to put him back on the air. As you must know, the Syrian government does not allow journalists into Syria. In that respect, it's actually worse than the Gaddafi government. The Gaddafi government allowed journalists in. They had minders. They had to try to escape the minders. But the journalists often would escape and would join with the resistance. Syria does not allow journalists in. And in fact, there are a number of Western journalists that have been murdered, many think, by the Syrian government. Americans, Canadians, people in the West trying to report this out. And the reason why they don't want journalists in is quite simple. It's much harder to commit a massacre when you have journalists around. Let's face it. Bashir Assad's father, Hafez Assad, in 1982, with no journalists around, took the fourth largest Syrian city, the city of Hama, and razed it to the ground, razed the old city to the ground, killed at least 20,000 people, some say as much as 40,000 people, when they tried to rise against him 30 years ago. This government understands that if the world is watching, you can't go out and massacre men, women, and children. So that's why Yasser's taking such a big risk. I hope he's okay. I tell you, anytime I lose him, we were trying to connect him on the internet, that scares me a little bit. But Nadia is working very hard to get him back. While we're waiting for him, let's talk about, do we have him now?
Not yet.
Okay, we're still working on him. While we're waiting, I want to report to you some of the stuff that's going on in Syria. Apparently, at the G8 conference in Camp David, President Obama has made it very clear that Assad has to go. And that's all well and good. I agree with President Obama. I'm glad to hear those words. But saying Assad has to go is just the first step. I mean, saying someone has to go you have to articulate something before you do something. But if you only say something and do nothing, well, you're doing the opposite of what Teddy Roosevelt said, right? He said, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." If you speak loudly and carry a small stick, then nobody respects you. So I'm really glad that President Obama said Assad has to go. That's absolutely the first stage. The next question is what happens next, and whether there's enough will in the United States, a will around the world to do this. Because let's face it, we're in a recession. Europe's in a recession, and we just finished helping the Libyan people, and there's an Arab Spring in virtually every Arab country. And the question is, can we help Egypt? Can we help Tunisia? Can we help Yemen? Can we help Bahrain? Can we help all the countries where the Arab people are uprising to get their leaders? And I say, well, we have to look at this case by case. I agree with President Obama on that. But I do think that Syria cries out for help. Because this is a case where the government is massacring its own citizens. Do we have him again? I'll put him back on the air. All right, she's checking with him. Again, it's difficult. We're trying to get into Syria. We're breaking Syrian law tonight, but we're doing so to get a really good... Do we have him?
We're trying.
We don't have him yet.
Else. All right. I need to add to you what you were saying.
Yes, okay. All right, let me put you back on. Nadia, what did you want to add? Please,
okay.
Go ahead.
That it has been over 14 months and the international community is still debating on whether a military intervention would stop the atrocities of the Assad regime, which is so far has harvested over 14,000 Syrian lives, according to the United Nations.
Okay, 14,000 people dead.
Right, and that's not, we're not talking about the disappeared ones and the mass graves that we are finding every single day by day. So it's more than that, a lot more. So it could be probably in 100,000s or maybe more.
Now, tell me this, because, and we're trying very hard to get Yasser back to speak with us. He told you, or someone else told you from the Syrian resistance, that there was a bomb last night, apparently at the dinner table of some very high-level Syrian officials. Tell me, Nadia, what do you know about that?
I do have confirmed. First, they were saying 8 people from the head. Those are the decision makers at the government, and they're the controlling, basically.
Right.
We do have confirmed 4 dead, and they're the most powerful men in Syria.
In fact, it was reported in the Guardian tonight that the vice president of Syria may have been killed. Are you aware of whether he was killed?
No, not the vice president. I do know for sure the minister of defense, and his name is Dawood Rajha, is dead definitely. Liwa Asif Shawkat. Asif Shawkat is the brother-in-law of Bashar al-Assad.
Yes, he was also mentioned in the report.
He's dead, confirmed. Definitely he's dead. Mohammed Saeed Bikhtian, he is also from Hizb al-Bas, and he's one of the leaders in Hizb al-Bas. And the fourth one also, Hisham Bikhtiar, he is the leader of all Mukhabarat in Syria.
What's Mukhabarat?
It's the kind of like... It's the
like the secret police, the intelligence service.
He's the head of all of it in Syria. He's dead.
Now, I have to tell you, and you probably know this, Nadia, the Syrian regime denies that this happened.
Right. They are denying, but they cannot put these people on TV.
That's the question.
And we do know, have confirmed yesterday, that airplanes, their military airplanes, pulled some of those bodies, took them either to Russia or to Iran for surgeries or something. We don't know what.
Wow. Now, again, I don't want to risk any secret information that the Syrian Free Army is using, so obviously we don't want to give away too many tactics. But maybe whatever you can share, whatever you feel comfortable sharing about how they managed to do this. Was there a spy?
No. The Free Syrian Army is very well organized. I need to assure the American people that the Free Syrian Army is not when it started. It wasn't organized at the beginning, but now they're united. So the revolutionists are united. The Free Syrian Army is united. They all have one goal: to take control of the country and get rid of Assad and his thugs.
And we're going to get to that, specifically how united the Syrian Free Army is, and I'm going to ask Nadia some tough questions. Do you want to try to get Yasser back on the phone?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, it's very important to get him back, so we'll take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to ask Nadia some very tough questions. Listen, my support of the Syrian cause for the Syrian people is clear. I've made that support clear for more than a year now. But at the same time, there are tough questions that the Americans are asking, that President Obama is asking, that need to be asked. Questions like, are they united? What will happen for religious freedom in Syria? Will it become an Islamic fundamentalist government? Will women's rights be protected? Religious minorities be protected? How do we know that it won't fall into the Islamic Brotherhood or Al-Qaeda? I'm going to ask these questions, not just of Nadia, but of this very high-level person in the Syrian resistance when we come back. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss that. If you want to call in, it's 202-889-9797. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this. Suddenly I see, and you should see too. I really want to focus. I don't think the American people have really heard a lot about what's going on in Syria. Let's face it, after Libya, after Iraq, after Afghanistan, a lot of Americans say, you know what, maybe the Middle East should go on its own. I don't agree. The reason I don't agree is all you have to do is look at people like Nadia. Look at, I just saw for the first time Abu Majid. That's not his real name, but I don't want to use his real name because he's there in Syria fighting for his people's freedom. And when you hear what he has to say, what's going on in Syria, I don't know how your heart can't go out and say we need to help these people. Again, I'm not looking for an American invasion. Majid is not looking for an American invasion. But maybe some arms, maybe some planes, maybe a little bit of support for helping people overthrow a brutal dictator. Majid, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Majid, can you hear us?
Thank you, and thank you for having me again.
Thank you so much for being here. So tell me, there's some news that Nadia was telling me about. It's been barely reported in the press so far. I think it'll be bigger news. She says that there was a bomb that the Free Syrian Army managed to set off that killed a lot of high-level Assad officials. Is that right?
Yeah, but actually we don't know the names, the correct names. But the high level, they were killed last night. This is 100% correct. And the Damascus last night, they witnessed a war, you know. And the whole special forces get down to the capital streets. And they surrounded one hospital, which they took all of this high level people there. Some people from high level, they get killed yesterday by Free Army. This is correct. But the correct names, we cannot say till we know more.
Okay, because Nadia, you were announcing some names.
I have announced Mohammed Saeed Bakhtian, Asif Shoukat, Dawood Rajha, and Hisham Bakhtiar. Confirmed.
Maybe Nadia knows more than you do. It's possible.
Yeah, there are eight, you know. We get the names last night. There were eight persons. But as I told you, without a video, without something public, we cannot say. Hope so.
No. I understand. And listen, I appreciate that you're not overstating the case. I think that, frankly, adds to your credibility that you're not claiming something that you're not 100% sure of. I wanted to ask you about some media reports and get some confirmation. It's been reported in the United States media that you are now getting arms, whether they're coming apparently from Saudi Arabia and Qatar, maybe some other places too, and that the United States is helping facilitate the transfer of the arms to you. Can you confirm that story? Is that true, untrue, or you don't know?
No, this is untrue.
Untrue.
Completely untrue.
Okay.
I can assure you this. First, American cannot help somebody to kill somebody else. This is first. Second thing, if we get arms from outside borders, believe me, we will take off this regime by 6 hours maybe. But believe me, still we're still fighting
big
by
talk.
Special weapons.
That
by the personal weapons, I mean personal weapons, which the soldiers and the officers get out from the.
From the Assad regime.
Let me ask you, Majid. Now, of course, and I'm not going to say where you are, but you're in one part of Syria. Other fighters are in other parts of Syria. We heard very briefly from Yasser in Daraa. Is it possible that part of the Free Syrian Army is getting these arms, as was reported in the American press, and your group is not, and that it's uneven?
My friend, my group is the main group in revolution. The revolution in Syria, you know, free army, three sectors, in south and middle and north. Mm-hmm. We are the north.
The
we
south.
We are the south one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We are the south one. We are 30% from the free army. Believe me, if something comes inside, we will get it first.
So, is it possible that the north and the middle are getting arms and you're not, or are you confident that no one is getting arms?
No, you know, we live in a very hot place, you know. If something will come inside from outside border, we will get it first. But nothing till now, Mark. Nothing till now. No one pull it, come outside the border.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Again, that conflicts with the published reports. But it's very hard for anyone to get real news out of Syria, whether it's myself or the Washington Post or CNN or anyone, because, of course, Assad does not allow journalists in. Tell me this. I know that the Annan plan, the plan of Kofi Annan, the former United Nations Secretary General, is not succeeding very well. They sent a few monitors in. You were telling me 2 weeks ago that the violence has gone on even while the monitors are there. Is that right?
Yes.
Of course, that's right. Before Annan group, this is the monitors, the new monitors, you know, we were killed around 40 to 50 each day. Now we still, today we have 46 killed by Assad regime. Nothing changed, you know. There is one thing changed when this new monitors came inside. Now we get more bombing.
More bombing.
More explosions in our streets. Yeah. This is what we get, you know. The Assad regime, before this monitors, you know, there was Arab monitors.
Yes.
But now when this foreign monitors came in Syria, they had a new plane. They had new plane, you know, in Syria, the Assad regime. Now we get killed by Assad bombing and explosion and everywhere. He wants to terrify it and terrorize the new monitors.
Well, tell me this.
That's why now three cases. We have three cases which they tried to explode the monitors' cars. In my place, one accident in Homs and in Idlib. Mm-hmm. Three times they tried so hard, you know, throw hard to make the word to get the word compassion ta'atuf.
Yes, and in
compassion,
fact,
yeah,
the Syrian regime is claiming, and I know what you're going to say, but but they're claiming that it's either Al Qaeda or even yourselves that has attacked the monitors. You think it's the regime, correct?
Of course, 100%. You know, but we have proofs for this. You know. We have so many things as a proof.
Proof.
That, you know, we in Syria, in streets, we believe that Al-Assad and Al-Qaeda, they are two faces to the niggle. Can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
The same faces to the niggle. We against both of them. We against both of them. We will fight Al-Qaeda if they entered Syria. No, the Assad regime and Al-Qaeda, these two regimes believe in killing, which we don't believe in our street. So we believe whom killed in street, this is Al-Assad, and he wants to say to the world, this is Al-Qaeda, to get the whole compassion. You know, he remind the world, Al-Qaeda in 9/11, Al-Qaeda in Madrid, now they will attack in Syria. Where Al-Qaeda were before 12 months? We didn't hear about Al-Qaeda from the regime. Now, after 15 months, they said Al-Qaeda.
Brother Abu Majid, can I add this to what you said? Can I just add a little more?
Go ahead.
The current Syrian regime has been accusing and pushing on the idea that all the recent attacks and bombs were created by terrorist group like Al-Qaeda. If that's the case, why the last 42 years Syria was one of the most peaceful and safest countries in the world? And if this is, it's all of a sudden Bashar al-Assad cannot take control of the security of his own country, he must leave. All the indications do bring us to one thing. The longer Bashar Assad stay, the worse the situation in Syria is going to get.
Majid, I want to ask you, because it's not just the media reports, but certainly there are Gulf states, countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar, that say that they are arming the resistance. Do you think these countries are trying? You told me you haven't gotten any arms. Do you think they're trying and failing, or in your view, they're not even trying?
Yes. He is telling you, no, السعودية ودول الخليج العربية مثل قطر والسعودية trying to, there are, يعني عم يقولوا إنه عم يعطوا أسلحة وعم يسلحوا الجيش الحر. يا ترى هذا الحكي بس هيك حكي ولا عن جد عم يسلحوا الجيش الحر؟
Okay, can you tell me that in English
now? Mark, you know, we don't know how to prove this is just lies, you know.
But you think it is?
No one helped the free army.
You think no one's helping you?
If somebody, I don't know if some countries help the free army. I told you we will change the revolution by one day maybe. We know this is our cities, this is our streets. You know, we can change this very fast. You know, but we have nothing. We have just which our soldiers and officers. Get personal weapons, you know, rifle guns like this, you know. We don't have any special weapons like missiles, like nothing. But Mark, if you allow me, you know, I want to add something about
yes.
Al-Qaeda.
Yes.
I will give you a non-information. In date of 23 of September 2011, middle of our revolution, before that date, you know, the United States have done an intelligence operation that cost a lot of American people a lot of money, and where they had to pay from their taxes, you know, they pay in order to help catching a very dangerous criminal. His leadership in Al-Qaeda.
Zarqawi, right?
His name Abu
Mus'ab al-Zarqawi.
No, Abu Mus'ab al-Suri.
Al-Suri. Oh, different. Okay.
No, this is other one.
Okay.
This is other one, Abu Mus'ab al-Suri. He's a leader in Al-Qaeda.
Yes.
He's a very dangerous criminal leadership.
Yes.
They catch him in Quetta in Pakistan, and they give him to the Syrian regime. Syrian regime relies him with
released
some
him.
Other members in
released
Aleppo.
Him. Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that?
No.
In 23 of December 2011, they release him. This is our regime, you know. America gave him someone very dangerous from Al-Qaeda leadership. They release him on 23 December. And his group, they want to say, Mark, they failed, you know. They are lies. Everyone, the whole world, do not respect Bashar al-Assad because he's a liar, big one, you know.
Yeah,
he's a big liar. Now he has the last card. The last card is terrorist. He knows, you know, the whole world support each other against terrorists, you know, against Al-Qaeda and other groups which kill people, terrorist groups, you know. Now, the last 2-3 months, every day they said Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. They want the minds of people, you know. Imagine that Syria attacked from Al-Qaeda, and the whole world must help this regime to stay in this chair.
Well, let me help you, Majid.
Will never be.
I don't know any Americans, right or left, Republican or Democratic. There are Americans that think we should help Syria. There are Americans that don't think we should help Syria. That's true. But I don't know any Americans that believe the Syrian lies that it's Al-Qaeda. So I want to let you rest easy that apart from the Syrian embassy, no one is really thinking it's Al-Qaeda. That's not the concern of the American people. I do think the concern of the American people, though, and as you know, I'm a big supporter of you. I wish you well. I'm a supporter of Najah. I'm a supporter of the Syrian people. But the concern among Americans is not that they think that you're Al-Qaeda. The concern, there are two separate concerns. One concern is that you're not organized, that you don't have the support of enough of the Syrian people, that maybe some of the religious minorities aren't supporting you. Maybe the Alawis are afraid because Assad is an Alawi, and they're afraid that you won't lead a unified Syria, but will lead Syria to civil war. How do you respond to people who say that?
Majid, you need help? Okay, go ahead.
No.
He understands.
I think I get the point.
He gets the point.
You know, you mean, you know, about civil war, you know, may happen in Syria.
It may happen.
Yeah, against minorities. if this is the point, you know, if this is the point about the civil war against the minorities in Syria, let's not forget that back in 1944, the prime minister in Syria, prime minister, was a Christian, mm-hmm. Fares al-Khouli,
mm-hmm.
And he was an Islamic faith minister as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at the second half of the 50s, Hani Salim, which in my area, in Daraa, was also a Christian, won the vote over the second runner, the Muslim Brotherhood, and became the president of an Islamic orphan institution. This was Syria before al-Assad family.
That's true, but what is to say that Syria will go back to the way it was? There are people who say in the United States, that I don't dispute anything. I'm sure you're right, that the Christian ruler back in the... But they say, but this is 2012. This is not 1944. The Muslim Brotherhood is very strong in Egypt. It's getting stronger in Libya. How do we know that Syria will be a country where there is true freedom, where everyone can participate, where women have freedom, where religious minorities have freedom, and it won't be a country controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood that does some of the things that the Taliban did that we find so offensive in Afghanistan?
Because we're not Afghanistan. Syria is different.
Okay.
Go ahead, Abu Majd.
We lived with each other from thousands year, Mark.
Yes.
No one time we have this case from civil war or against minorities. No one time, you know, through thousands of years. Now we will not change. We have history here, you know. We have history. We cannot change by one night, you know, and fight each other. This has never happened, you know. For example, most of my friends are not Muslims. They are different from all of Syria. We believe that we are Syrian, just Syrian, you know.
That's
we
good.
Don't care about your religion, about what you will believe, what you like. This is separate. This is different, you know. We are all Syrian. You know, Ger, one of our friends, you know, Ger, 21 years old, her name was
Yara.
Yara Michelle Shammas. Mm-hmm. Yara Michelle Shammas.
Yes.
She's 21 years old, mm-hmm. a Christian. You cannot believe what the regime do.
They tortured her.
For her, you know. Mm-hmm. He caused her to be a Salafist. Just
right.
Because
how could
she was supporting
yeah, how could
the
she be revolution. How could she be a Salafist and she is a Christian? They're accusing her to be a Salafist.
A Salafist, for those who don't know, is a very fundamentalist Muslim sect. They're the ones who got second place in the Egyptian parliamentary elections. They're closest to what you might think of as the Taliban, a very fundamentalist, want women in burqas and that kind of thing. So I hear what you're saying. I want to know, because Egypt, of course, is having an election this week. And the Muslim Brotherhood has done very well in Egypt. You think Syria is very different from Egypt in that regard, more likely to be a country, more like Tunisia, for example, a country of better educated people who won't lead to a religious civil war?
أبو مجد سوريا وضع بيختلف عن مصر لأنه الإخوان المسلمين ربحوا بمصر لأنه وضعهم الكلتشر تبعهم تختلف عن سوريا.
أولا يعني first we don't have إخوان in Syria.
You don't have
Muslim Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood.
We do have them, but not
they exist.
Like
Egypt.
You remember 1983? Assad
wiped them out.
He destroyed them. Yeah, I mean. So they're very weak in Syria. Right.
So where does your strength come from? It comes from ordinary shopkeepers and restaurant owners and workers, students. Is that where your strength comes from? It's not from the Muslim Brotherhood. It's from who are in the revolution?
Okay.
Is my question.
يلي عاملين الثورة مين هن بالضبط هن ما نون الإسلاميين لكن مين هن
all the Syrian you know all the Syrian different religion all the Syrian as I told you everyone inside this big jail Syria is go out with the revolution but somebody so afraid he help us under the table you know and somebody don't afraid he come with us in demonstrations but believe me Mark our revolution it's contained the whole people.
This
revolution for freedom and democracy, this is not for Islamic, for Al-Qaeda, for Ikhwan, for anyone. This is for freedom, just for freedom, you know. We want to be a civilized country. We fight for our freedom. We are not fight for Saudi, for Al-Qaeda, for anyone,
for anybody,
you know,
else. So,
no,
so,
no, we fight for our babies, you know, that's why. But, you know, Assad regime, 23 in power, you know, he cannot let us go like this easily, you know.
Can I add
that's
something?
Way, you know,
I'm sorry, okay. Let me add this.
Go ahead.
This revolution that is happening in Syria for the last 14 months is like any other revolution that has happened in the world, just like France, Britain. There's no difference. People in Syria are peaceful. They're calling for democracy and freedom. So why do they deserve to get killed and not to raise their voice?
One of the things, as you know, Majid, is that there are people in Syria who are committing the killings, people working for the Assad regime, people in the military, and so forth. They are, of course, Syrians, too. What do you need to do to persuade the people who are doing the killing, the people who are working for Assad, that their future is not with Assad, but their future is with you and the Free Syrian people?
Okay. عم يسألك هدول اللي هلا عم يساعدوا الحكم.
I get the point.
He gets the point. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I get the point. Actually, we call them every day. Mark, I will give you one example. When we across some Shumana Hajiz Askari,
the borders.
Okay.
The borders. The military borders.
Yeah, in our street, you know, they put for us military borders. You know, each 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers, you will face them. So when we go to them and talk with them. Believe me, most of them want to go out from Assad regime and join the revolution, but they are so afraid. You don't know what happened in Syria. If you in the regular army and you decide to be in a free army, they will kill all your family,
yeah,
your cousins, your neighbors.
Right.
You know, no one will be safe. No one will be safe. That's why everyone is so scared, so scared. If you notice, you know, there is no one ambassador, you know, go out from this regime. Everyone is scared. In Syria, you know, this is hell. No, people said more than that, you know. They said, if you go to hell, this is will be more merciful from Bashar al-Assad troops. They will catch you.
Akh Abu al-Majid, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Mark Assad, he meant something else, Kaman. No. He meant... What's gonna happen? يعني شو الفيوتشر للمستقبل اللي بدهم يلي مع النظام بعد ما يروح النظام.
Forgiveness.
So even if they're minorities like Alawites, what's the future for those people? يعني شو بده يصير فيهم?
My best friends from Alawis. What you say? My best friend from Alawis. Now somebody don't know actually the fact in Syria, somebody young 20 years 25 years, he don't know the fact of this family, you know. Somebody afraid, somebody has factories, have money, have business in Syria, they're afraid from regime. This is what we will forgive them, you know. Of course.
What I hear is that people in Damascus, people in Aleppo, people in the two big cities, the commercial cities, ordinary middle-class people, shopkeepers, small business owners, that they're afraid. They don't know what to do. They don't want violence. They don't like Assad, but they're afraid if they come out and support the Free Syrian Army that Assad will send tanks into Aleppo or Damascus and destroy city streets. So what do you need to persuade the average Syrian, not brave fighters like yourself, but someone who is scared to join the cause? Do you need to take territory? Would it help? Because you know, the reason why Libya had its success, was that first they took the eastern place. They took Benghazi, and it was free of Gaddafi. And once Benghazi was free and they controlled territory, then the United States and Europe, NATO could come in and defend them because they had some place to go. But the few times the Syrian Free Army has taken territory, a mountaintop here, a mountaintop there, unfortunately, you've lost it in a few days. Is that what needs to happen?
نرجع انه عم بيعطيني مثال عن ليبيا وانه بسوريا يعني هم خايفين وما عارفين شو بدهم يسووا اذا الجيش اضطر يتملك بدل الاسد.
لا انه دمشق وحلب اهل الشام واهل حلب خايفين متجبنين بيكرهوا للاسد بس خايفين انه يصير شيء لحتى ما يقوم يخرب البلد اكثر ما هو مخربها ويهدها يعني. فعم نحكي على اهل دمشق واهل حلب. فأنت مثلا عم يجيب لك مثال أنه ليبيا مثلا بنغازي توحدوا وبلشوا من هداك القسم الثورة وبعدين تمددت وقويت. أنه نحن بسوريا وضعنا مختلف صح؟
The difference in Syria, the most beautiful thing in Syria. That's where Mark, what we're talking about from first place, you know. We are different in Syria than Libya and than Egypt than any country else, you know. We are different, you know. We have free minds. We are not like Libya, you know, one word and everyone step on the line. No, in Syria, you know, everybody have his thoughts. Everybody has his ideas, his way. The difference in Syria is the beauty of Syria. This is what we're fighting for. But about the businessmen or something in Syria,
yes.
Believe me, they are afraid from Assad. But they are with us, and the free army, you know, they are not afraid from the free army, of course. I will give you one reason. Because now, you know, we don't have anything. For example, the Jarad Ghaz, Shumana, huh? Jarad Ghaz.
They don't use it here in this country. Maybe Stamlua. It's for the gas stove they normally they have. In Syria, they have to buy and carry the
gas can to make a gas stove work, and they don't have those.
Yeah, but over you know, there, for them, it's so expensive to buy it
so
now.
So you don't even have stoves.
This is before revolution. This is before revolution was $4. It's now around $26.
Imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to tell you that people don't have money, but also... We don't steal from the rich people. We do not steal from somebody who stay with Bashar al-Assad till now. No. This is nothing. This has not happened in Syria. That's where you know the people organized and united behind the free army.
Majid, I want to ask you the question I asked before. I'll try to. I know English is not your first language, but I want you to understand my question. My question has to do with territory, with land, and the fact that in Libya, the rebels, the revolution, took land, took territory. They had Benghazi. Gaddafi was gone from Benghazi. So they owned Benghazi. And because they owned part of Libya, the world, the United States, Europe, could come in and help them free the rest of Libya. Because they had part, they could get all. My concern is, my question for you is, does the Free Syrian Army need to take part of Syria so that we, the world, can help you get all of Syria?
No. I think the question. First, in Libya, the whole world helped the rebel
yes.
to take this land.
Well, only
to be the heart of the revolution. No. They were
not at the beginning.
They would not take it. They would not take it alone. No. They take this heart of revolution by help of people, by help of the whole world. But in Syria, no one helped us.
Okay.
If they want to help
I understand.
Us to take this land,
can I add?
We can take it by one day.
Abu Majd, I need to add something. I just want to clarify something here. It's important. The structure in Syria is totally different than Libya. Libya has a huge land, you know,
yes.
and a
mostly
lot of
desert,
desert
yes.
you know, and not a lot of population.
That's
only
true.
6 million.
Yes, it's,
okay,
that's right.
They got only 1 million got killed, and they have still 5 million left. In Syria, we're 23 million population.
Right, smaller country, bigger population.
It's much smaller.
Right, smaller in land and much more people. Yes,
but we're not divided, even though we have so many different cultures and religions for thousands of years. We're Jews, Christians, Alawis, Shia, whatever we are all together called Syrian. We speak Syrian, we have Syrian food, we live in harmony for all these years. This Assad came up and say, we are fighting, and we are fighting minorities. It's not true.
Yeah, no, but that's not my question right now. My question is a practical question.
We can't be like Libya.
No,
that's what I'm
saying. Can you take territory? Can you take land? No,
we can't. We don't have weapons.
You don't have weapons.
Only in the north.
We don't have weapons. You know.
Okay.
They will bomb us. He will bump us immediately at the moment. He will bump us, you know, at the same moment.
I understand.
Now, for example, I'm in Daraa, in south of Syria, you know, in south of Syria. We can't take this area, you know, as a free zone area, or free area, you know. But we cannot. If we do this, he will kill us by the same moment.
I understand.
And this is the way, you know, we call the American people and other free people of the world, you know.
No-fly zone. We need no-fly zone. We need stuff like that.
You need, but I assume even before the no-fly zone, you need weapons, right? You need heavy machinery. Right. You need guns. You need
or intelligence, at least, you know.
Or even intelligence.
Give me free zone. Give me free zone, and you will see heavy weapons. You know, will come immediately.
Okay.
Most officers in the army, you know, they want to go out from Assad regime and join the revolution, but they cannot, you know. He will bomb the tanks.
I mean, Abu Majid, what happened yesterday? That's one of the things that the Free Syrian Army did yesterday. Was how they were able to plan for killing those leaders. That's a huge thing. I mean, and they have no weapons.
Yeah,
they have no strong weapons, and so this is very good. But we need more help. You know, this is not enough.
You know why? Because we believe in something. We fight for our babies, you know, for our children, for our freedom. We believe in something, but they believe just in money and power and killing people.
Yeah.
This is different, you know. We are more stronger. Than them.
Okay.
That's where we win, you know. That's where we win. But, you know, we lose every day. Yesterday, we lose a baby in my area, 7 years, two bullets at her back. Can you believe that? A sniper
shot a child, a small girl.
7 years, Turkey, Al-Jamus. She's 7 years old, you know, two bullets at her back.
And why she was hit? I mean, what was she doing?
Nothing. She catch her mama hand and walk at the street from a place to another, from a house to another, her aunt. And the sniper, you know, shot her two bullets, just to terrify and terror the people and to make us not go out.
And that was in front of her mom's arms, huh? I mean, they killed her right when her mom was holding her hand.
2 months ago, 3 years old, Asil. Her name was Asil. She's sleeping in her
in her mom's lap.
Wow. And they shoot her.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. And she hug, صح, يعانق.
Yeah, hug.
She hug her mom. She hug her mom and was sleeping. And the sniper shoot her at the head between her eyes. 3 years old. 3 years old.
I know.
And that's where, you know, that's where the officers... so afraid from Assad regime, and they cannot take heavy weapons like tanks or something, because they know if they do something like this, you know, no one will stay from their families. No one, and I mean it, no one. Like Hassan al-Harmoush, he's a general in the Free Army.
Yeah.
When he decided to join the revolution, you can't believe what they did, you know. No one from this family stay. For example, Kennedy family in America. If somebody from Kennedy family joined to the Free Army, they will kill all family. Kennedy family.
I understand. Majid, I know that you've sent some materials to me. I want you to keep sending me things. My website is marklevinetalk.com. I will continue to post your interview, my interviews with Nadia. You can feel free to download them, use them as you will. And keep sending me materials, and I'll post them on my website, whether it's video or whatever you have.
We need to add something to mention something about the Al-Qaeda. Just
okay.
One thing.
Yes.
It's very important for the American people to
hear. You're not speaking
to
my
hear this.
Go ahead.
Between 2003 and 2008, the Assad regime and Iran had supported the Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And according to America and Iraqi government, that Al-Qaeda weapons and fighters were smuggling through the Syria to Iraq. That is a big proof that Al-Assad and Iran, they are with Al-Qaeda and wanted to fail the democratic plan in Iraq and the Middle East in general. So the Syrian regime has been lying, and the world should not believe him or trust him. Either. So Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah are willing to spread their terrorism not only into Syria land, but even further to get to the U.S. and Europe if they have to.
Majid, I want to ask you, there's a report in today's Washington Post. that the United States has plans, contingency plans. I don't know if you know that word, but basically plans just in case the Syrians' stock of chemical weapons should be unguarded. As I'm sure you know, the Assad regime has some really awful, awful chemical weapons, things like nerve gas and terrible, terrible weapons that would be...
And they have used them in Syria.
And against the people.
Oh, yeah, in Jisr al-Shughur. We know that for a fact. We have eyewitnesses and also in Homs. Rustan and Homs. Mm-hmm.
And again, send me whatever information you have and I'll post it on my website. It's interesting to me because it shows the United States is certainly prepared if the Assad regime would fall to make sure that these chemical weapons do not end up in the hands of Hezbollah, as you mentioned, or other terrorist groups. I wanted to know, it's hard because, I know Najah, I like her, she's very nice, she comes to my radio show, I've met her personally, I saw you, I waved at you in the camera, you seem like a very nice person. The concern is not me, I support your cause 100%. The concern is that clearly with United States officials, and you don't have to persuade me. You have to persuade them. The concern is that there are rogue elements or ununified elements or parts of the Free Syrian Army that we can't trust that might use these chemical weapons or might not be looking out for the Syrian people. I don't know if you can say anything to reassure us, to reassure President Obama, to reassure Americans in Congress who may be listening to our radio show right now that what you really do seek is a free democratic Syria where no citizens need be afraid of chemical weapons.
Yeah, I hope I can show you the facts here, but you know, you have to forgive my language. First,
you're doing very
well. President Obama and the Congress people, they 100% know, and they are not concerned about this. They know this will not be used. Second thing, for Hezbollah, they did not wait Syria regime to fall down and take this weapons. You know, Hezbollah already gets from Iran every day through the Syrian land, you know, through the Syrian regime.
That's a good point.
This weapons, you know, and it terrorized the whole area.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is fact. Third thing, you know, the Free Army are organized, Mark. They are organized 100%, you know. We have the picture after al-Assad. We know exactly what we will do. We will do with this weapons. Fourth thing, you know, why people not concerned in Libya? 18 days, the whole world fight in Libya. Why they don't concert in the USSR? Why they don't concert in every place in the world? Why in Syria? Why this concert just in Syria, you know? What we have to do? We have to give 100 or a million killed. After that, the whole world will believe us?
Yes,
what
I hope
prove
not.
You mean?
Abu
what
Majd?
You prove you mean? Now we are 16,000 killed, you know, get killed. 16,000.
Abu Majd. Can you also please add about who is the Syrian Free Syrian Army, please, to the American people, because they don't know who they are. Can you tell them who is?
Who has joined?
You know,
what kind of people?
It's basically, you know, consisting of a group of soldiers and officers from the Syrian military army and intelligence. These Syrian heroes, you know, have decided not to follow the dictatorship orders and killed civilians who were most of the time women and children. The Free Syrian Army is a very organized and united. At the beginning, we're overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now they are confident and stronger than ever. We are going to see an increase more in the number of the Free Syrian Army members in the near future. Those brave soldiers, actually, and officers started to be united with each other to protect the civilians and
protesters. Protesters.
That's the word.
Yes.
Protesters.
Yeah, protesters.
Yeah.
Abu Majd, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
As you know, I am Jewish. There's a lot of support in the United States for the country of Israel. It is an ally of the United States. One of the concerns when the Egyptian people overthrew Mubarak, there's still a concern today that perhaps the new Egyptian government might declare war on Israel. Can you say that the Syrian Free Army will not begin a war against Israel, that you want to free the Syrian people, but you're not going to extend or attack outside your borders?
Mark, have you been visit Damascus before?
I have not. I would love to go. They wouldn't like me there right now, but I would go when you free Damascus. I will be your guest.
We hope so. You know, if you come to Damascus, you will see whole streets full by Jewish, and their business in Syria is very strong. You know. And they have a very strong relationship with the Syrian people. Actually, they are Syrian people.
Of course.
Mark, we have nothing against anyone at the whole world. We have nothing against any human being,
I'm glad
the human creation, which we believe in Syria. Syrian people want to be a modern country. Modern country, don't believe by killing. We have nothing against anyone,
Except Assad.
Israel is no. Listen to me, Israel people. They are people, yeah.
Yes.
Just like me and you. We are all people in this planet,
Yes.
Jewish, Christian, Muslim, your religion. This is something up to you. This is something up to you, But there is Shumat Majlis Amen. Security Council.
Yes.
Security Council.
Yes.
And some orders from a Security Council. Okay, Israel do their part. We do our part. This country do this part, by law. We won't live by law. That's it.
Okay. Well, that is fair. That's very fair. And I want to thank you very much for taking your time and for coming here on The Inside Scoop. I want to thank Abu Majd. I want to thank Nadia.
Mark, if you allowed me by 1 second.
Real quick.
You asked me last time what you wait from America.
Yes.
For now, we want them just to pray for us,
Well,
I think this is something they can do,
I tell you I pray for you.
For our women tears, for our baby screams, we live in terror, we live in fear here. Actually, this is really fact, we live in fear. Each moment, just we want this people, to light a candle for us, for our king people, to pray for us. That's it,
Abu Majd, I not only pray for you and for the Syrian people, but I am working as much as I can within my constraints as a radio host to bring attention to your cause, and to let the world know that the Syrian people need help. It's a cause I strongly believe in, and I can't thank you enough. And I'm going to have you again, I know, on my radio show, on my television show. We're going to publicize this as best as I can. I'm committed to that, to you and to Nadia and to the Syrian people. Thank you so much for coming here on The Inside Scoop.
Thanks for you, and thanks for Free Media. Thank you.
All right, well, that's it at The Inside Scoop. We ran a little bit over. I apologize for that, but when you have a guest like this, it's important to let him finish. This is Mark Levine. This is The Inside Scoop. This is We Act Radio, 1480 AM. I'm here every Sunday. You can hear me with Nancy Skinner from 11 to 1 and by myself on The Inside Scoop every Sunday at We Act Radio, 1480 AM. If you want to contact me, you can find me on Facebook, Mark Levine, M-A-R-K-L-E-V-I-N-E. Go to the fan page. Talk to me. Go to my website, marklevinetalk.com. Go to Twitter. You can follow me at marklevinetalk. Please do so. I want to encourage everyone to comment and let me know what you thought of today's interview. And we'll be back next week for more of The Inside Scoop right here on We Act Radio.